Reading this evening is taken from First Timothy, chapter 3, verses 1-7. That's First Timothy, chapter 3, 1-7, and I'll be reading from the King James Version. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no strike, not greedy or filthy leeches, but patient, not a brawler, nor covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a native, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil.
Thank you, Stu. Woo! I'm a little live here. I'll just talk like this. Is that better? I'll talk more formally and they'll figure it out. We've got some good guys back here. If I tried to touch all that, we might blow it up. So thank you all for how you take care of that. Now, another job that's hard, they don't think tech things are hard, but there are different things that are hard for different people. It's on. Yep. You think the battery might be going bad? Do you want me to get back up on the mic, or are we?
Bring back up a little bit.
I'll come back up here until they wave me down.
I think you better get that one.
Okay. No problem. I'll just leave this one to look pretty. So, another job that's very hard and often thankless would be a home health care worker. I happen to have known of a few and worked with a few. And imagine if you saw in the wanted ads someone searching for a home health care worker, and it explained it like this. You're going to sit in the house 24/7. You're always going to be on call, and you need to clean, and you need to cook, and you need to bathe the person you're caring for, and you need to take care of them any other way that they need. And it said, and your pay is zero. And in fact, if you could pay for yourself and pay to take care of them, then that would be good. I don't know how many people would really go running, but the fact is, if you're a parent or if you happen to care for someone in your own home, that's what you do. You do that. And there are people who want to do that. And as for some reason, there are people who want to be parents. I don't know why, if that's all you think of, parenting being. So why is it that whenever you put a label on it like that, you describe it in that way, it sounds really unappealing? And you say, well, why would somebody want to do work like that? Well, similarly, when you look at the idea of being an elder in the Lord's church, you could certainly paint a picture that makes it look undesirable. And one thing that specifically comes to mind is looking in Hebrews 13. It's how we started in our study on the eldership. In verse 17, when he says, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, For they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. So first of all, I can see someone who looks at this and they say, they watch out, and I chose that phrase because it means they don't sleep at night because of the huge responsibility of overseeing souls. And they will give an account. They will give an account for the most precious things in all of creation, the human soul. Now, when we look at why people don't desire the work of an elder, that's one reason the obligation, the responsibility is so great. And he goes on and says, let them do so with joy and not with grief. Well, how could someone cause an elder grief? Well, it goes along with the things that would keep them up at night, being concerned for people's souls. And not everyone is as concerned for their own soul as other people are concerned for their soul. And that causes grief for those who would care about that soul. And that'd be another reason someone might say they don't desire the work of an elder. It makes it seem undesirable. So we talk about a caretaker being someone who is on call 24/7 to take care of these physical needs for someone. Well, there's a sense in speaking where an elder is a caretaker of people's souls and is on call 24/7 to take care of spiritual needs, even far more valuable needs. And these needs are life and death spiritually for someone. It's that type of pressure that might make someone not desire the work. You go back to 1 Timothy 3 and it says, this is a faithful saying, if a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. For some people, the fact that it's work is enough for them not to desire it. They say, well, I don't really want to do more, and therefore I don't desire it. Now, there are some who might desire to be an elder for the wrong reasons, and those are pretty clearly elucidated in Scripture. You look at verse 3 here, and it says that one qualification or characteristic of an elder is they're not greedy for money or covetous. Well, why would that be? Well, look at 1 Peter 5, and he gives us a little more insight. When he says concerning how he himself is a shepherd and talking about the other shepherds, in verse 2, he says, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. He says not to serve as a shepherd because you want dishonest gain. Well, why would serving as an elder with all those responsibilities put someone in a position for dishonest gain? Because it's actually a position that someone could have an abused power and exercise their position in a local congregation to gain things that isn't right for them to gain, whether that's monetary gain or whether that's power and influence. And he's saying that's not a good reason to want to be a shepherd of God's flock. It's not for the power and the ability and what it gives you. And he says, too, not by compulsion. There might be people who seem to have pretty good qualities, seem to have the characteristics that we see in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus chapter 1, but they don't have a desire to be an elder, and people say, oh, you really should be. They make them feel bad, and they almost guilt them into it. Now, that's not a good reason for someone to take the work. Actually, that's not desiring the work at all, is it? To be, in a sense, forced to by a compulsion. That's not it. And there's a sense where someone might say, actually, for any reason for yourself, there's not really a good reason to desire the work. Things that you might want. However, whenever we look at it a little further, we go back to 1 Timothy chapter 3, and we find something that it says about deacons that I don't pretend to completely understand, but it shows me the idea that someone can have something they want to gain from the work. And when we look at deacons, it says in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 13, for those who have served, speaking of deacons, who have served well as deacons, obtain for themselves a good standing and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. That's a lesson for down the road. But simply put, there's something to gain. And it wouldn't be wrong for someone to say, I'd like to serve as a deacon, or I'd like to serve as an elder, because if deacons would have great standing and boldness in the faith of Christ Jesus, wouldn't elders, right? And so would it be wrong for someone to say, I'd like to be a deacon, or I'd like to be an elder because I'd like to have good standing and great boldness in the faith in Christ Jesus. So it's not wrong to want to gain something, but it's not about us and the things that we want to gain. As far as the reason for desiring the work, need to be spiritual in nature. And that's what we find as we look at positive reasons why someone would desire this difficult, very important and grave work in this day and age. There are so many things that they might be able to do. Why would they desire it? Why is it something that would be good for a young man to begin to train for even well before he becomes a member of the Lord's church? To learn the things that he needs and have the principles ingrained into him that would make a good leader of the Lord's church. Why is it something that anybody would want their child to grow up to do, or anybody would want to do themselves? As we look at it, we see some of the reasons are similar. It's a work. It's something to do in service of the Lord's kingdom, for one, and that's how it's described in the first verse. It says that this is a faithful saying, if a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul gives a charge to Christians, and he says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, he's asking or begging, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you are called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with all long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. Paul recognized, and he teaches the brethren, that there is a calling. Now, this calling isn't a mystical, miraculous calling, God whispering in our ear, or a feeling that we have, but it's a call for us to the work of Christ and to walk a certain way. The word is a word for a vocation, or like we would think of a career or job. Whenever someone puts on Christ in baptism, we have received a career. It's no longer that which fills our bank account and pays our bills and puts food on the table. That's secondary. That's how we make it through our sojourn in this life. But we've received a true purpose in this life. And maybe that would be one good reason. That'd be one good reason for someone to desire the work of an elder, a great purpose in serving the Lord's church in this capacity of leadership. Another reason where someone might say, I don't want it because of the grief, but someone might say, I do want this work because of the joy. And I specifically think of raising children in that. Whenever you just think of all the bad things that have to do with children, you might say, why would anybody ever want to do that? Well, because there's good, right? Because there are things that make it worth it, that make it joyful. It isn't just the bad things and the late nights and the pain and heartache that might come. It's also the love that you share with the child and getting to see them develop and grow and all the things associated with it in that way. So there's joy. Well, what's it have to do here? Joy in what? How might a shepherd of the Lord's church serve with joy? Well, he says that they give account for the souls of the brethren. Whenever you look at Acts chapter 20, verse 28, you see that that each eldership is accountable for the flock that they shepherd in the local congregation. And God put them in that position. They were appointed by the Holy Spirit. That's because the Holy Spirit shows us the characteristics that they should have. And when we acknowledge that in a person and we place them into the leadership in a local congregation, the Holy Spirit's done that, in a manner of speaking. And so God, having put them in this place, makes them accountable for the souls of the people in the local congregation. And so it's in that understanding that we see, well, that's the way someone could cause them grief, whenever their soul's not healthy, and when they fight those who are in charge of trying to help guide them the right way. But it also helps us understand where someone finds joy. And it's very similar to the kind of joy that Paul talks about in his letter to the 1 Thessalonian brethren, chapter 2, verse 17. He says, but we, brethren, having been taken away from you for a short time, in presence, not in heart, endeavor more eagerly to see your face with great desire. What kept Paul going? And when people didn't listen to him, and when even brethren fought against him, and we read that they did in 2 Corinthians 11, why did he keep trying what made it worth it for him. Verse 18, therefore we wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? And that's the joy that someone who serves as a leader in the Lord's church can have, knowing that because of their recognition of their culpability, of their accountability for the individual souls in their flock, and because of their love for them and their service in the church, that they can see that person in heaven someday, that that person could pass from this earth knowing that they fought the good fight and they've run the race. Now, that's their joy and their crown of rejoicing. That would be part of the joy, the idea that the Hebrews writer was talking about in Hebrews chapter 13. So those are a few reasons, someone might desire the work, along with this idea that we talked about, like deacons, that they can have a great confidence in their and boldness in their standing in the faith and in Jesus Christ. We'll talk about that more when we talk about deacons. But the last one I wanted to look at is this idea that I'm going to sum it up this way. A good reason for a man to desire the work of an elder is that he can't not desire it. And this is what I mean. There's a misunderstood saying about preachers that's very similar, and it's sort of funny. Some people joke about it, but when it's understood correctly, it helps us get this idea. And that is, someone will say, we heard it so much at the school, if you can do anything else, don't preach. Now, some people who don't believe that preaching is a very good profession, if you want to call it that, think that that's pretty funny, and that means if a preacher's not able to, doesn't have the capacity or talent to do anything else, then he should just preach. But that's not what they mean at the school. And as I was trying to find out what I wanted to do with my life, I went to school for music education, and I tried to get some money from the Army, so I went through the entrance processing, physical, and the test, and I had been accepted into the National Guard Band, and that's how I was going to pay my way through school. Too much earwax didn't let me do that, so I wasn't qualified to serve. But I also qualified to go into nuclear physics for the Army National Guard. And so I thought that was pretty interesting, but I was going to be in the band instead. But it's still an interest I have. I like physics and I like science. And I've been a manager at restaurants, and I've worked my way toward management at Walmart, and I've drilled water wells. There are many things that I've done. And I know preachers who are much more capable at other things than I've been, and have been successful in businesses, have made six-figure incomes. But what they couldn't do is they couldn't not preach. And so regardless of what they had to give up, they preached. And that is more understood better, perhaps, by the idea that's given to us in Jeremiah chapter 20. And whenever we look at Jeremiah chapter 20, we're familiar with this verse, but often it's taken out of context to make something seem more glamorous than it actually is. So often we've heard in Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 7, it starts in verse 7, but we've heard this in verse 9, where Jeremiah says that he said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name, but his word was in my heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones. And we've glamorized it and said, Jeremiah just loved God so much, and he loved what he did so much that it was like a fire in his bones, and he couldn't help but preach. That's not what's going on here. What's going on with Jeremiah is that he can't not do it. And what I mean is, as you take in the context, he's being abused and mistreated because he's doing the right thing. And so he had made a decision that he wasn't going to preach anymore, if you want to put it that way. But then in verse 7, he says, Oh Lord, you induced me. That is, he enticed him. And I was persuaded. You are stronger than I, and I have prevailed. This is talking like someone who was wrestling with God, not wanting to do this. He didn't want to continue on talking about how Jerusalem was going to be destroyed and how his home nation was going to be led into captivity and going to stay there for almost two generations. He didn't want to do it anymore. And people weren't listening to him. And he says, I am in derision daily. Everyone mocks me, for when I spoke, I cried out, I shouted violence and plunder, because the word of the Lord was made to me a reproach and a derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart like a fire in my bones. I was weary of holding it back, and I could not. And look at why he couldn't hold it back anymore. For I heard many mocking, fear on every side. Report, they say, and we will report it. All my acquaintances watch for my stumbling, saying, perhaps he can be induced. Then we will prevail against him, and we will take our revenge on him. Do you see what he's saying? He's not saying, it's such a great job, I just couldn't help but do it. He's saying there's such a huge need. People aren't following the truth, and they're teaching lies, and they're wanting faithful people to fall. And there's such a great need, I couldn't help but go ahead and do the right thing. And it's more of that type of motivation that we see at the heart of great men and women of God. Those who might not have even wanted to do something that they saw had to be done. And because they saw the necessity that was laid upon them, they did it. When you look at 1 Corinthians 9, that's what Paul was talking about in regards to preaching. He said in verse 16, for if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. In fact, it's Paul's words in Acts chapter 18 and verse 5 that he uses it's concerning Paul, these words in chapter 18, verse 5, that says, when Silas and Timothy had come from Macedonia, Paul was compelled by the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ. Do you think Paul liked telling his countrymen, his Jewish brethren, that they were lost if they didn't obey the Christ? It wasn't something that he took a simple pleasure in. But he was passionate about it because it had to be done. And that idea of being compelled, the Holy Spirit compelled him. Now, we learn from 1 Corinthians chapter 14 that the prophet is in control of the Spirit. The Spirit can't make a prophet do anything. So he wasn't forced to, but the information, the knowledge that he had from the Holy Spirit moved him in such a way where he couldn't not do it. That's bad English, but it's a good understanding of this desire and this drive that Paul had. Now you might say, well, we just read in 1 Peter chapter 5 that someone shouldn't serve as an elder by compulsion. But that's a different word for compulsion, actually. And whenever we look at Scripture, the word used here in Acts chapter 18, verse 5, and the word used in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 14 and 15, for the love of Christ compels us, those are different words. While Peter's dealing with the idea that someone shouldn't say, oh, well, I've been guilted into it, and okay, fine, you've convinced me, I'll just do it. That's a wrong reason for someone to desire the work. But when someone's more like Moses and says, you know, I really don't know how talented and how able I am, but I just want to follow what God's word says, and I see such a great need around me, and I have the characteristics that I've been growing in as a faithful Christian, because I'm just a follower of Christ, and I see that there's a need for this type of leadership. And they look at the flock, the local congregation, and like Jesus saw the wandering multitudes, they're moved with compassion because they're without a shepherd. That type of motivation, that type of compulsion is different. It actually is a desire. It's a much deeper desire than thinking something's just glamorous or fun, or it's a position of power, you might gain something from it. It's actually a position of service, not looking out for yourself, but for others. And that's what Jesus did when he came to this earth, didn't he? In Mark chapter 10, verse 45, he says that the Son of Man did not come to serve, but to be served. He did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. That's more of an attitude of a man who desires the work for the right reasons. All the difficulties and all the heartaches and hardships that can happen when someone is leading a local flock of the Lord's people are far outweighed by the glory that we have in Christ and serving Him. We see prophets, great people of faith, long before us who may have never seen good come out of their message, but the reward from God and the recognition there was far greater, and it's what they looked forward to and set their focus on. These are just a few things, and not even close to well illustrated as we're looking at what God's offered those who serve Him faithfully in each congregation. But why would someone desire the work? Maybe you hadn't before, but maybe hearing some of these things, if you're a man of this congregation, you've said, you know what, those are important things. The souls of people, the well-being of the Lord's body, and the growth of His kingdom. And you see the needs and the lacks, and they have bothered you, but maybe you haven't done anything about it and you haven't seen your responsibility. One reason I became a preacher is as I was looking and going through all these ideas of job opportunities and what I might do in the future, I began to realize my role as a disciple of Christ, and I was speaking more and leading public prayers and speaking at the table. And I had a brother say, I heard once that if you have the ability to do something and you have a reason to do it, then you have the responsibility. And maybe that'd be a good way to think about if you should desire the work of an elder. If you don't desire it, maybe you should ask yourself, why not? Are you focused on the things of this earth? Or are you focused on the things of the Lord? Is it something for you to really wake up and consider? Maybe you look and you say, well, I don't have a wife or I don't have children. Maybe you're a woman. That doesn't mean that you can't do great service in God's kingdom. And we can have the same mindset that a shepherd of the flock has. And that is, we each have a great purpose in this life. There are so many lost and dying around us every day. And each of us has the life-giving message with us, within us if you're a Christian. And we should have the ability and the willingness and want to share it with others. It might not be fun. We don't enjoy hurting people's feelings, and we don't enjoy making people turn against us because they don't agree with the truth. But are we driven to do it because it must be done? Because if we don't, then nobody will. And so why desire the work of an elder? Why desire to do the work of Christ? They really relate to each other, don't they? If you aren't a member of the Lord's body, why not? Maybe you say you are. Does God say that you are? No person has a right to say that you are in the Lord's church. It's just the scriptures that say it. And what the scriptures say is everyone who's heard the gospel of Christ and believes it and is willing to repent of their sins and confess Christ before men and has been baptized has been added to the one body, the one church that Jesus is going to come for someday and take to heaven with Him forever. And if you haven't done that, won't you do it tonight before it's too late? Or if you're a member of the Lord's body already, but you haven't felt the drive that you should to do His work, maybe you've gotten distracted by things that are self-serving, we're here to pray for you and encourage you any way we can. But let your need be known by having a seat in one of these front pews, or don't leave here tonight without talking to someone and asking for encouragement. But let us know what your need is as we stand and sing.